We will now go to agenda item 7, which is the Oregon Global Warming Commission Natural and Working Lands Goal Update with Danny Norlander and Kathy McDonald.
Good afternoon. Can everybody hear me? Okay. For the record, Chair Imason, State Forest Majority members of the board, I am Danny Norlander. I'm the Forest Carbon and Forest Health Policy Analyst with the Oregon Department of Forestry. And I'm here today to introduce Catherine McDonald of the Oregon Global Warming Commission, chair of the commission. And she's going to provide an update on the Global Warming Commission's goal setting as directed in Executive Order 2004. A quick summary and context setting is that Executive Order 2004 was signed almost a year ago next week. And it directed the agency to participate with the Global Warming Commission on setting goals for the natural working lands. So we've been participating with the commission through that process. There is a survey that was a questionnaire that was circulated at the end of the year, and further work is going on with that. So I'd like to be cognizant of the time and turn it over to Kathy at this time.
Great. Thank you, Danny. And am I going to be working off of slides that you have up, or do you want me to call up my PowerPoint?
Jason, did you have them available?
Because I've got mine right here. It's just as easy.
If you can share your screen, that would work probably.
That would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. Let me get back to where.
You're asking questions way above my pay grade, so whatever works.
Okay. Can you all see my slide deck? Great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Chair Imason, State Forester Doherty, and board members, thank you for inviting me back to give you an update on where we are relative to this work. It's really important. Certainly, forests are a major contributor to our potential for reducing our overall emissions. And there's a lot of interest, as you might imagine, in how the commission will be advancing this work. So I thought today I'd give you an update on kind of what's been happening, what we've got planned coming up, and then identified about 7 kind of major questions that we will have to answer as a commission in order to make a proposal to the governor. So I thought it would be great if we could just have a little bit of dialogue about those questions and get some thoughts going back and forth between our two organizations on the topic. So as I presented last fall, we've kind of identified 6 deliverables and or steps that we need to advance to be able to develop this natural and working lands proposal, certainly engaging stakeholders and technical experts, identifying existing land sector inventory data and priority inventory improvements, working through the methods for tracking emissions and sequestration from the land sector, developing a baseline and business as usual projection. That last part is if it's possible to get that done in time for our proposal. And then we want to include some ideas about potential investments, programs, and policies that could be advanced to reduce emissions and increase sequestration in natural and working lands. And all that will be wrapped up in a proposal to the governor by the end of June. Some of the activities to date, last fall, you know, we reached out to state and tribal natural resource managers. We briefed the Board of Forestry, as well as the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and the Board of Agriculture. We created a web page to host information on our natural and working lands efforts, convened technical advisory groups on blue carbon, forest carbon, and agricultural carbon opportunities, and want to just thank the department for having both Danny and Andrew Yost helping us on the Forest Carbon Technical Advisory Group. In addition to the department, we've reached out and included folks from the Forest Service, both the National Forests and the Research Station, and in the Institute for Natural Resources, and a few others to help us kind of think through what are the best practices and what do we need to do relative to forest carbon. We, as Danny mentioned, we hosted a questionnaire that was targeted at landowners, technical assistance providers, landowner associations, and conservation organizations. This was just an attempt to get some structured input from these different groups on what they see as barriers to engage, to doing more to increase sequestration on natural and working lands, and try and hear what some of the ways that we could help landowners take on new practices. So we've got that questionnaire. We've gotten quite a ways in evaluating that and summarizing the information. There's a real wealth of information that we got. In addition, we hosted posted a second broader questionnaire for ongoing input from stakeholders. And obviously, in addition to all of these things, the commissioner, people can provide comments directly to the commission. I meant to just quickly apologize if I disappear. I've been having computer problems and my computer likes to turn itself off randomly. So I apologize if I lose you or you lose me. But those are the activities we've done to date. Some of the things that we've got planned are to host some focus groups to follow up on stakeholder input. In particular, I think this is important relative to the forest input that we got. I think the questions that we asked were a little too general to really understand what might be important to those different stakeholder groups. We're planning on doing kind of sector-based focus groups and then a series of regional groups that will bring the technical, all of these different groups together to have a conversation collectively about things that might be put in place to help. We will be synthesizing information from the agencies and stakeholders to inform the section of the report that talks about investments and programs and policies. And then, as I mentioned, hopefully we'll be able to finish a baseline. We've got a first draft of a baseline, and we're anticipating that we'll be getting some projection information, at least for forests that we might be able to include in the next couple of months to also go into the report. The timeline for the different discussions, we heard some of the preliminary results of the survey and discussed kind of the status of land sector inventory data at our January meeting. On Friday, we'll be discussing the questions that I'm going to walk through with you here today. And then next month, we're hoping to hear from experts on the potential of the land sector in Oregon, and also to update and provide a kind of a final report on our original survey. In May, we'll discuss the draft recommendations, and then in early June, we will finalize the proposal and recommendations so that we can get that drafted into the governor. So that's kind of what's pending for us. Just a couple of things that are on my mind as we go into making all of these decisions. You know, one of the things that we need to consider is that carbon flux from natural and working lands can be affected by both natural processes and anthropogenic decisions, land use changes, management changes. And so we have to be able to kind of think about those two aspects and how that might influence how we set a goal. The second thing is just that we need to recognize that there's a much higher degree of uncertainty in land sector emissions and sequestrations compared to other sectors. And this is true for the national land sector inventory, but I imagine it will be true for a while, at least for any state level assessment. And then finally, kind of looking at and thinking about the land sector, you know, the national land sector information or inventory varies a lot more than it does for other sectors. And that's just another area that we need to be mindful of as we kind of think about how to how to set and manage a goal. So some of the important decisions, first and foremost, we need to think about what's the purpose of setting a land sector goal. You know, is it simply to track emissions, or do we really want the goal to help us evaluate the effectiveness of investments, programs, and policy decisions? So that's going to affect what we identify for our inventory needs. Second, you know, what type of goal should we recommend? Should we recommend an emissions reduction goal and sequestration goal, or an activity goal, or both? I think there are some important reasons we might want to consider both. And then, you know, how detailed do we want the land sector goal to be? Should we include all lands and all activities, or kind of the most important subset of lands and activities? Do we set a single goal for the land sector, or do we set a goal for each major type of natural and working land? So kind of those are the first three big questions. Then how shall we treat the emissions from anthropogenic activities versus emissions from natural causes like wildfire and pests and pathogens? The IPCC has two methods for thinking through and managing through the approach to anthropogenic versus natural emissions and sequestration. Both ways you can report separately through either of those methodologies, but there are some things that we need to kind of think through on what makes the most sense for us to do. And then the next question, what's the relationship between the land sector goal and the state's existing emission reduction goals? So should the land sector goal be additive to the goal for the other sectors, or be part of meeting the state's goal? And then finally, how frequently should we update the goal in the inventory, and what criteria should we use to inform any such change? What consequences? And finally, what consequences do we want to recommend if we are not meeting the goal? How do we hold ourselves accountable for achieving our land sector goal? So those are the key questions that are on my mind. I'd love to open it up and just hear any thoughts about some of those questions, or answer any questions that you might have for me on how we're proceeding.
Okay, questions or comments or answers from those questions from board members. Jim?
I'm just wondering, you spoke about the high level of uncertainty around the land sector. Do you believe that with the level of research and work that is being done in these areas is going to significantly decrease that amount of uncertainty that you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some ongoing work at the federal level to try and reduce some of that uncertainty. And I think a strong interest in making more investments to do such. So I think we will be seeing the national level information much improved. And then I think there are things that we can do here in Oregon that would improve our level of certainty as well through improvements to the inventory.
Just reflecting on a couple of the questions. I don't know how you do the land sector as a whole because it's so different. I mean, it seems like, and I think that's one of your questions, is do you have to dig more deeply into that? And my answer is yes, you would need to do that. I also, the forest sector, I mean, Oregon is one of the great things about our state, and a decision that was made a long time ago was land use planning. Mm-hmm. But we sometimes tend to, we're grateful that we have it. And I think it's a reason that we have lost less forest land than many other states have. Because and probably farmland too, because of the land use plan. That said, the inability, especially on private lands, to maintain forest land is still threatened by the economics of managing private lands. And I, as good as our system is, I think over time that's not sufficient. We can't just rely on that alone. So we have to look at other things, incentives and other kinds of things that other states actually look at more than we tend to. So I would just kind of toss that out there as an issue. I think if Nils were still part of this group, he would be far more eloquent about that particular issue than I am. But I think it's an important issue.
Absolutely. We are incredibly lucky to have the land use system that we have. And the department years ago did wrote a paper on the greenhouse gas emissions that we've avoided because of our land use laws. And I also completely agree that we need to go beyond that to make sure we're driving the best decisions for how we continue to maintain as much on the landscape. You know, good community planning and transportation planning is an important complement to the land use laws. And then I think to your point on private lands, you know, thinking about what incentives we can provide to shift management is going to be an important part of what we put in the proposal to the governor.
Catherine, this is Joe. I have a question. So related to the sector goals, how do we consider in these the relationship of, you know, when we convert forest products, we use a forest product that sequesters carbon and building materials, and of course CO2 doesn't stay in Oregon, and it affects, you know, we're a huge producer of forest products for the country and the world, and sequestered carbon in that manner. How does that fit together how do you envision that fitting with the forest sector goals? Because if Oregon isn't producing those forest products are coming from somewhere else in the world, or they're being replaced by things like concrete and steel.
Wood products are considered in developing the land use change and forestry inventory information. And so I think it's helpful that we have the recent work that the department has been overseeing to look at that more specifically. I mentioned that we had developed a draft baseline, a first cut at a baseline. And one of the areas that we identified that we could improve things would be to include some of the information that the department is just generating around wood products into the state inventory tool. So that's an area of improvement. In terms of thinking about what we might be exporting and how that plays in, I am not positive about how the tool would reflect that. So that's something I would need to get back to you on, or I don't know, Danny, if you kind of recall that piece and can answer the question about how we would think about exports.
I'd have to go and look specifically at the SIT tool and how it deals with it. So we can get back to you on that, Joe.
Okay. I mean, obviously it's important to me, but I mean, we produce a lot of forest products around the world, and how that's accounted for and how that's thought about, I guess.
Yeah. We've had discussions about including it for sure. So, 'cause it is an important part.
Yeah. My recollection is that, the what gets counted is anything that's imported, anything that's milled in Oregon would get counted. So I think it would address that, but we'll follow up with you and make sure we're getting that right information.
Okay, thank you.
Jim.
Yeah, just a comment. I think that, given, since we're talking about global warming, given the importance of forests in that area relative to other natural and working lands, I would generally encourage you to be looking at them mostly separately. I say mostly because we've got issues of afforestation that, you know, we want to be looking at those opportunities as well, which in what are now either lands that are really not being used and or currently in agriculture.
Yeah, thank you for that comment. We have these three separate working groups focused on blue carbon, and we've identified some overlap between that and forests. And so we've connected the blue carbon folks with the FIA folks to try and see how much information the FIA program might have on some of the forested tidal wetlands. So we are trying to do that overlap. The biggest gap we have right now is really trying to think through the agricultural pathways, but I just found out we will be getting a little bit of money to use that we can use to kind of help pull some of that inventory information together. So I'm excited about that and really appreciate the work that the department has done to help us better understand and have kind of an up-to-date view of what the current stocks and fluxes are in our forests. So that's going to be very helpful.
Brenda, did you have your hand up? I thought you did, but.
I did. And then, you may have already covered this, Catherine. I'm sorry if I missed it. But certainly in forestry, it's not as big an issue as it is in ag and in some other land uses. But all aspects of forest management and the production of wood products entails release of greenhouse gases. And I know that that's often considered in a different sector, but it does seem to me that there needs to be some way of accounting for the net carbon stored and sequestered, less the greenhouse gases that are emitted. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and that is how the national inventory, you know, includes like the net from the land sector.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm looking into is how are other states approaching this, and how do they treat biogenic emissions? Kind of taking stock to see what we can learn from other states. There are, I think, 13 states that have done a inventory for natural and working lands, some of which just use the SIT tool and some use more specifics. And then how do they kind of divide things up and take a look at different influences? For example, the ag sector has some emissions that they count in sector emissions, and then some that they count in land sector emissions. And yet I don't think that's not the case for the forest sector at the national level. So kind of some different practices that I think we need to look into.
Yeah, thank you. That's my impression as well. Thank you for that.
Any other comments or suggestions or questions? Okay, thank you, Kathy and Danny. Appreciate it.
Great. I just will let you know that, you know, we do have that webpage on the natural and working lands. We'll be keeping, we'll be pulling off some of the comments that we're getting and putting those on our meeting sites or meeting agendas. So please do stay tuned to that. And if you have any questions or comments or want to discuss anything, I'm happy to follow up on that with individual board members or with the board overall as we continue to work on this and wrap it up this spring. Because as I mentioned, there's definitely a lot of interest in forests and the role that forests can play in helping us better mitigate climate change. So please stay involved, get in touch, and
I think Peter, before you depart, I think Peter say
great. Is that just a link on your Global Warming Commission website, the Working Lands webpage?
Yes.
Great. And I'll work with Hillary and we'll get that sent to the board so they have it somewhere clickable rather than taking notes and trying to remember it. So thanks for that. That would be great.
Yeah, I'll send you the link.
Thanks.
I'll send the link both to our meeting agendas, and that's where we will be posting some of the public comments and as well as the National Working Lands page.
Yeah, that would be great. Then we can just forward that to board members and they'll have it handy for when they decide to go find it.
And the questionnaire that's up now on the Natural and Working Lands page, we're going to keep that up through most of April, and really are interested in getting thoughts from Oregonians about, you know, how we should be approaching this. So please do pass that along to folks that you think might want to be involved in this. Thanks again. I really appreciate the time and attention for the board, and look forward to collaborating more with the department on this work.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Okay, everyone.